Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
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 That's sort of an oaky afterbirth.
What was that?
She did tell me to get a beer and some cheese fries over at Eskimo Joe's.
That's very nice, lovely. I only hope you feel this way when I'm done. Because I could destroy this night in 2 seconds.
Why is that funny?
Well, I think it's a bit funny to be trying to define nothing.
Smooth as a bourbon on a summer day. Strong as a peated scotch in the winter night. This is a fair warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. We are sans Juan. Juan is not here this evening. Everybody say a prayer for Juan as he has been traveling to go see friends in Enid. I think he went to go see friends in Enid. But we do have Jim here.
I'm mad about it.
Yeah, because it was super inconvenient for us.
First of all, what you have other friends, Juan?
Besides us. And like, they're even in they're outside of Tulsa.
What?
What's going on, Juan? But yeah, so we don't have Juan here tonight, but
the truth is Juan has way more friends than you or I.
Like that's true.
Like put together.
I think that's accurate. He's a friendly
dude. Like cooler than us.
Yeah, no doubt. So we have an exciting show tonight because I have been doing a little bit of reading on a Dominican priest who is he's a medieval Dominican.
Jesus is a Dominican priest named Jesus.
And he's not known to a lot of people, or at least for me. He was a guy that I was not aware of, but played a very big role in the liturgy even. And was around during St. Thomas Aquinas' time. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer this evening on that. I think it's really funny, Dave. I was scrolling through some of our episodes because, by the way, we're about to hit year 5 of the Catholic Man Show.
Art thou serious?
Yes. We are getting very close to 5 years. I think next month or like within 3 or 4 weeks will be
so weird.
5 years.
So weird.
Would not have guessed that.
And to think over that 5 years, when we've actually gotten younger.
And worse.
Right. I mean, both.
Yes. But so I was actually going through some of our episodes, like just scrolling through episodes that we've done in the past. And it's funny how as you're scrolling through, you can just see what we basically have been reading.
Yeah.
You know, because
that's exactly what it is.
As we scroll through, it's like, oh, yeah, this is when we came across leisure. Oh, yes, this is when we were talking about divine simplicity. Or actually, I don't know if we've done a divine simplicity, but.
We might have. I know we've talked about it.
Talked about it.
I don't know if
it's just interesting as I was scrolling through the episodes. It was funny that I was going through there and be like, oh yeah, I remember when Dave was reading this. But let's try this beer. We're having a beer this evening. We're not having a whiskey. We're having a beer. This is from Elk Valley Brewing Company. It is an imperial stout. It's called Latte Nemesis. It is a stout. Aged on coffee beans, vanilla, and lactose.
Okay.
So, be prepared.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yes. 9% ABV, so it is a stronger stout. But Elk Valley is a well-known brewery out of the Oklahoma City area. So I like to try to support local... You know,
are they from Elk City by chance?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Okay. I do not know. I think it's just Oklahoma City.
There is a place called Elk City.
Right.
But it's a small place.
Let me tell you, Oklahoma beer is... Their beer game... Our beer game is strong.
Personally, I don't feel like anybody can really brag about their beer anymore because everybody's got good beer. You've got good beer. We've got good beer. They've got good beer.
Let's all hang out and drink some good beer.
Everybody has great beer, which is great because now... Whenever you go somewhere, you know for sure, walk into a brewery, they're going to have great beer. I mean, like, how many breweries can you think of that don't have great beer?
Only a handful.
I mean, it's like, that's a small list.
Right, I agree.
And even those that don't, like, well, they're coming around.
Give them time.
Right, I mean, like,
oh,
so,
I agree.
It's a good day to be alive for a beer drinker.
For a beer drinker.
Yeah.
What did you think of the beer?
It is exquisite.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For an Imperial Stout.
Doesn't hit you right away. Right up the bat. It's not like, boom, full flavored right off the bat. But then you go, oh,
there
hello,
it is.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to the party.
Yes, I agree.
It's really delicious.
It is very good. What do you think, Jim? You like it?
This is yummy.
This is yummy. I'm quoting Jim there.
He has used the word yummy before, but this time he said, this is yummy.
Yeah.
He put a different inflection on it, and I want our audience to know that he really meant it.
Yeah. hey, so let me tell you something that's happening this coming Saturday. If you are listening either live as we're streaming, or if you're listening on the podcast, this coming Saturday, one of our patron members, Stephen Houle, has... kind of started this thing for a monthly Zoom call for our patrons.
Do you mean Saint Stephen?
Yes, I do.
I believe you mean Saint Stephen.
Saint Stephen Houle. So what he's doing is, because, you know, there's a lot of guys out there right now that haven't had a lot of good Catholic men interaction. A lot of the Catholic conferences have been canceled or postponed. Yeah. A lot of the men's groups have been kind of postponed. Knights of Columbus, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure if Knights of Columbus has. Their meetings have been kind of postponed. Anyway, so there's been a lack of fraternity in the Catholic world. And so what he decided to do is once a month, we're going to have, on a Saturday night, we're going to have a Zoom call with all of our patrons.
Sweet.
And so that way, and we're going to just, like, it's not going to be structured. It's not going to be it's not going to be ordered. It's just going to be like, hey, let's hang out. Let's kind of grow together in prayer and
make some jokes.
Yes. One of the things that Saint Stephen Houle did do is lay down some ground rules, which I appreciate. There's no talk of COVID.
Good. Oh.
And there's no talk of politics.
Okay.
Not that either one are bad to talk about, but the idea of this whole thing is going to be like for unity.
Keep it friendly.
And not divisive. So. Right. So anyway, if you are a patron member, you can join these calls that are monthly. The first one is going to be this Saturday.
COVID, there's just really no reason to talk about it. Like, politics, is a worthy topic of debate and of discussion, but it's something that should be discussed among your like people that you have a good relationship with already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not necessarily the best relationship forming.
Right, that's why
topic for discussion.
We try to take out the divisive topics because this is all about, like,
when you're building a relationship, it should all be about commonality.
Yeah, common ground.
And you could find commonality in politics, but also you might not.
Right.
That's the thing.
When you throw, you know, a couple hundred guys in a, I don't know how many people will end up doing it, but we have the capabilities of several hundred people getting on. There's going to be difference of opinions, which is good.
Right.
Debate's good. But anyway, so that's an option if you are a patron member and you've missed that email. That's happening this Saturday. So
sweet.
Come and go as you please. Just very conversational, very low-key. So it'll be fun.
Just check in.
Check in, yeah. See how your brothers are doing.
So what do you think of this beer?
I like it. I don't catch the coffee as much.
You don't?
No, I catch more of the vanilla and
I definitely get a lot
of
the cream.
Vanilla, like, almost
to me,
like
the coffee
the cream
is very present.
Really?
You're not picking up. You're not getting it.
I do, but I just thought it was going to be more. I guess.
Oh man.
But
that's interesting. I wonder if, like, I mean, they came from the same pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think they were probably all canned at the same time?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I definitely get coffee.
I do too. I just don't get it as much as what I.
You thought it would be stronger.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave, so if you had to guess, you know, you have three young girls and a boy. I have three boys and a girl. My boys are a little older. If you had to put money, not knowing, if you had to put money on who would be going to the emergency room more, the Niles girls or the Minahan boys, which would you put? What would you put money on?
I would put money on the Niles girls.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you'd be in the minority. I mean, I think.
Well, I have inside information into often the Niles girls go to the emergency.
Well, that's what I said. If you didn't know.
Oh, if I didn't know, but the. Well, that's hard for me to answer because I do know.
Right.
I think one of the very only people who know.
I think most people would say the Minahan boys would be.
I agree.
Would be
that's the obvious
answer.
Like,
however, Elizabeth broke her arm. You know, she broke a bone before any of my boys have broke, knock on wood. Yeah. And then Bernadette busted up her nose or something.
Yeah, she decided to dive headfirst into a coffee table recently.
I didn't even see it.
It's right here on the bridge. It was blood was everywhere.
Oh man, bless her heart. Did she get stitches? I didn't even ask.
No
stitches. Good.
That's why it's purple. That is not a bruise. It's actually glue.
It's glue.
It's purple glue.
Okay, so they glued it back together.
The doctor was like, "Well, we'll use purple because she's a girl."
Yeah,
and it's like, "Yeah, okay." It's gonna look terrible.
It's gonna look like she's bleeding,
like a huge bruise. Right?
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad she's okay. I didn't get her.
Yeah, she was totally fine.
Good.
She's very brave.
Good.
Mary has not gone to the emergency room. Right.
Thank goodness. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
The boys and I went to Clear Creek this weekend. We did the work day.
Yeah.
That was really awesome. It's just great to get out there. There's, I don't know, probably 250, 300 guys or people there for the work day, which is really good. And we did some tree trimming, some brush hauling.
Yeah.
And we went with my dad. It's just really cool to have that tradition, even though we didn't necessarily do a whole lot for the monks, you know, but going together as grandpa, father, and then sons, just doing things together like that is...
It feels good.
It feels good. So
it's right in jest.
We'll talk about this sweet man gear on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan and Jimbo Spencer. We are sans Juan. The whole quality of production today is really feeling the loss of Juan. This segment brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases from CatholicWoodworker.com. You should go there.
They have some new crucifixes coming out.
Go there and peruse.
Yes.
Just peruse.
He supports us.
Use TCMS.
We're partnering with Jonathan from the Catholic Woodworker for our Father's Day giveaway.
We have a Father's Day giveaway.
It's going to be
no
epic.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
But it will be epic. So
it's going to be epic.
Yes.
That's a spoiler, but no more spoilers. More?
Okay. So... Go check his stuff out.
I did the banner thing. Did you see that?
It was very good.
The last time I tried to do that, it
cut away.
Only played the banner. There was no camera.
No video.
It was just the banner.
Well done, dude.
But this time, I nailed it.
Nice. Okay, so we're drinking a little bit of stout. Our gear this evening, if you guys are watching on YouTube or on our stream, you'll see that we're not drinking typically.
Are we sponsored by these people?
No.
Are they giving us money?
No, they're not giving us money, and
we bought these. Have we asked them to give us money?
No, we have not.
We didn't even ask.
No.
That is amazing.
But normally we drink our beers in a Catholic Mancho beer glass, but you'll see this evening we're not. We're drinking them out of these koozies, and it's called a Chillin' Reel. Chillin' Reel.
Reel them in cold.
Real Men Cult. So what it is, it's basically designed for dads who take their kids out fishing.
Probably a bad idea, but I'm going to take the rubber band off of mine.
If you do, there's going to be
it's going to mess.
What it is, it's a koozie that you can also fit that you can fish with. And here's what it's made for. It's made for dads who take their kids, the young kids out fishing, which as a dad, I think that you need to take your kids out fishing. Even if you don't know how to fish very well, even if you're not a fisherman, the importance, the things that you can learn in fishing, that your kids can learn in fishing, is it's hard to replicate the opportunities they can get to learn, like patience, reward, perseverance. There's a lot of things that can come from learning how to fish.
They will learn not to be afraid of touching a fish.
Fish, right?
Because like
that's which is important.
If your son is afraid to touch a fish, like it can be embarrassing as a dad, right?
Sure. So what it is, it's a koozie. And it's a hard koozie on the outside. It's a soft koozie on the inside. You put your beer in the koozie. You slide it in. There's a knob on there with it where you can wind up your fishing reel. And so what you're able to do is, as you're drinking your beer, you can kind of throw out a line to, just kind of leisurely fish as you're fishing with your kids.
Something close to the shore, right?
But it's not really made to obviously for a serious fisherman, but it's more of like as a dad, that when you take your kids,
is this safety?
No, it's not.
We have a lot of equipment,
right?
I'm going to do it anyway.
As a dad, if you go take your kids fishing, you know that you spend most of your time untangling, get them unsnagged,
Jim, catch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. See, it works.
Oh, I got a big one.
Yeah.
But, it's a lunker.
But as a dad, you sit
it
there.
Worked.
It does work.
It worked.
Yeah. You spend most of your time unsnagging, untangling.
Right.
Help, putting new lures on. You don't actually get a chance to fish very often if you take your kids.
There's a big gym.
But this is kind of cool because it gives you the opportunity, I got a couple minutes before I have to go unsnag my kid again. I'll just kind of cast that out there leisurely, have a beer, and just kind of
I will tell you the only thing this is missing. You know how on your reel, if you don't have a hook, there's like a little loop on it for you to run the fishing line through to like catch the fishing line so that it holds it. I feel like this could benefit from one of those, like something so that it
just has a little hook, so that way you can.
Because I'm going to take the rubber band off, I'm probably not going to keep the rubber band with it, Right. So it would be nice to have a little catch that would hold
the line,
so that I could just toss the koozie somewhere, in my fishing gear, and not have to worry about winding up the fishing line every time.
Right. So what you do is you take.
You know what you can do? Just cut a little slit,
yeah,
right there, and
yeah,
put it in there. You can do it yourself.
Sure. So you take where the reel is, where the sticker is on the koozie. You aim that to wherever you want to cast. You just throw it out there and have a beer and just kind of leisurely.
I could see fish.
I
don't know how much string is here, but honestly, I could see you casting this pretty far.
You can, yes,
because it comes with a very heavy weight.
Right. Which is perfect. You underhand throw the line out there to
catch.
Or you
could do like I did. I was like
swinging
puppy.
It. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a cool thing for a dad to have.
It is a neat idea. It's kind of like a cool gift idea.
Yeah.
For somebody that just like, hey, you don't mean a whole lot to me. didn't cost me a whole lot of money, but it's still cool.
Yeah. It's a cool gift.
We've all got people like that
True.
In our life,
And obviously they don't know that we're even promoting this, so. But I will I will attach the URL and things like that to our show notes, so you can check that out as
well. If they want to send us money, my bank account number is.
Yes. So anyway, don't you always have good fishing stories with your dad, like that you remember, right?
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, my dad and I used to go fishing a lot. One time I hooked his hat. I was walking in front of him on our way, and I remember just being a kid with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
I have ADD, and I was swinging my fishing pole around and snagged his hat.
I don't think anybody believes you that you have ADD.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, we used to go. We did. We used to go fishing a lot, and those were just really great. They were always really great. I benefited because I'm the oldest. You know, right. Like my younger brother, he's 7 years younger than me. I don't know if he got to go fishing quite as much. You know, that's mm-hmm. just the way it is.
Right.
As more obligations.
Right.
You know, you got more kids, less time.
But I mean, I can't. My boys love fishing. We've said this on the show before, but I can't remember.
Your kids have caught more fish than most people have in their entire life, I think. Big ones.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, like, Luke has caught a bunch of big fish.
Yes, he has.
That pond, I'm not going to say what pond it is, because, you know,
right,
a you fish, and that would break all the code.
Right.
But that pond that you guys go to is like a diamond in the rough.
It's a nice pond, yes. But... You know, the look on a kid's face when they know that they have a fish on the line and they're reeling it in and they finally, the fish breaks the water and they finally get to see it.
When a bass jumps out of the water as you're reeling it in, that's a moment.
And you get to see their face of excitement. It's very hard.
I meant for yourself.
Well, that too. But
I mean, just in the life of a
fisherman,
of a person, right?
It's just so exciting.
Yeah.
And to watch your sons be able to do that, and your daughters. I mean, Anna doesn't really fish too much yet, but she may soon.
Take out the Moana fishing pole.
Yeah, she does have a pink fishing pole she likes. But so anyway,
no, my kids. Elizabeth has a Moana fishing pole. Mary has a Tangled fishing pole.
Oh, okay. Which is ironic because it probably gets tangled a lot.
No, it doesn't. I think it's only been used one time.
Okay.
The tangle rate is low.
Okay, fair enough. So anyway, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool.
And it's also like a legit koozie.
Mm-hmm.
Hard shell.
It's called the Chill and Reel. So check that out.
Chill and Reel.
Chill and
Chill
Reel.
Chill in Reel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll put a link on the show notes, like
chillandreel.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I dig it.
Do you want to jump into the topic? We only have a few minutes, or did you have something else that you wanted to talk about beforehand?
I did, and I don't remember what it was.
Shocker, Mr. ADD.
I just live in the moment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we all have our faults, that's mine.
Okay, fair enough.
I live in the moment.
In the moment.
And this is just the moment I'm in.
Okay, fair enough. So we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about prayer this evening. One of the book that I've been reading, actually, I'm... almost finished. I have a few pages left on there. It was given to me as a gift from our good friend Thomas Lackey, who has been on the show before. But it's just recently translated. It's an old book that is recently just been translated into English within the last like couple months. It just was published. And it's translated by Dominican priest Father Thomas Crean. And
Crean?
I believe. Isn't that how you would pronounce it?
I suppose so. Crean, yeah.
He just wrote a book, I think, recently on political philosophy. So maybe integralism, I think, that's been hitting.
That's a topic I've wanted to talk about for a long time. But
me too, but it just requires a lot of study.
Harrison Garlick keeps refusing to come on the
Deacon,
show.
Deacon Garlick,
yes.
Yes. So it's by...
Thank you, Deacon Garlick. Yeah.
Yes, so it's translated by Thomas Crean, but the book is by Humbert of Romans, Father Humbert of Romans. The book is called.
Can you just do that? Can you just like add of something? Like,
yeah, you're David of Broken Arrow.
I'm going to put that on my official introduction. Like,
I'm David of Broken Arrow.
This is part of my bio, and now David of Broken Arrow.
There you go.
It sounds cooler, like when you're of a place.
Yes. It's on prayer. It says De Oratione, I believe is how it... Listen, I just started taking Latin classes.
Dude, I got in.
You're in now?
I'm in.
Nice.
I told you I was going to get into that
De
class.
De Oratione. Is that how you would say it?
Oratione, yeah.
Oratione.
Mm-hmm.
The Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma just opened up a Latin class for us to learn Latin, so we're both now in it. I've only had one class.
We're going to be fluent soon.
But De Oratione... I think the literal translation means of speech, like orator oratione, but I think it's translated as a prayer. So when we get back, we're going to jump into the talking about prayer, talking about some of his reflections on prayer, which I found pretty interesting. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of Imperial Stout from Elk Valley Brewery. Latte Nemesis is what it's called, if you want to check that out. Very good. We just got done talking
to
about...
To quote Jim Spencer, it is yummy.
It is yummy. We just got done talking about the Chillin' Reel. You can check that out as well. This segment of the episode is brought to you by Select International Tours. Go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Man Show. It is in our show notes. You can go check that out. Sign up because we are planning a pilgrimage, hopefully soon, at some point. And you want to know when we release that and the information about it, whenever we do.
Yes.
So they sponsor our show. They've been sponsoring our show for the last... they're doing it all
year.
This year. So, and all...
Has it been
almost
a year?
Almost last year. So...
Not quite.
Check them out.
Close.
They help us, hoping that you will help them as well. So check Select International Tours out. Okay, so we're talking about prayer today. We've had many shows on prayer. Ways of Mental Prayer is a book that I've really enjoyed, talking about how to enter into meditative prayer and enter into contemplation.
Yeah, we did a show on that not too long ago.
I've been on a prayer kick.
Is this a sequel? Ways of Mental Prayer? I didn't get that vibe from you.
No, it's not. It's just, I guess I've been on a prayer kick recently.
What does it mean to be on a prayer kick?
Learning more about prayer.
I've been checking out this prayer thing lately. I'm just seeing what it's about.
Speaking to God, you know.
Yeah. I've just been trying it, you know.
And so I thought, like, there's just a few things in there that I thought was really cool, and so I wanted to, like, talk to you about them. And,
okay.
Because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it yet, and this is typically when we do actually talk about fun things that we used to.
Yeah, I know. Now we have all of our cool conversations like on the internet,
right? Instead of on the phone.
We used to do it
in the backyard
having a cigar.
Right.
They're way worse now.
Yeah.
No cigars. Right. Occasional pipe. I almost brought my pipe over, but I thought, you know, I just won't.
So. On prayer, he gives several things, like three different things for the result of thanksgiving in prayer, three evils of being ungrateful in prayer. He breaks down different things on the aspects of prayer. But before we do it, he mentions a little bit about the importance of praying together and then also praying in specific locations, consecrated, sacred ground. And the efficaciousness of praying on sacred ground, and how it is more efficacious in prayer whenever you're doing that, and you know the whole economy of graces and how this all works. It's a mystery. It gets kind of confusing.
It's a mystery to me, anyway.
But he's talking about the importance of praying the divine office and praying when the
church.
Do you
ever do that? Do you ever pray the divine office?
I try to especially during Lent.
You do?
That's one of the things that I've been trying to at least.
Which ones do you do?
Well, I try to do Compline at the end of night, and then
really,
I try to do at least Compline.
Man, I still have this horrible taste in my mouth about the divine office because it's so hard. It's hard to do in, like, are you doing it right? And it's different. Are you doing it by yourself? If you're doing it with two people, then the, like, oh, you read this, you know, the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're doing it with more than two people, there's even, like,
there's a leader, different. Right, right.
And there's, like, a leader, a responder, and then there's sometimes, like, a group. But it's not, it doesn't say, there's no instructions. You don't know. And so, like, when I was coming into doing it,
You're just flipping back and forth, trying to figure out.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And also, it's not so much this, but there were some people that I were doing it with who, and this is, I don't mean this at all like a rebuke, but I did something wrong and they laughed.
Oh.
And
it kind of shut you down.
It was very embarrassing for me.
Right. Because
it was in front of other people and they weren't trying to be spiteful. They weren't trying to be mean at all.
Right.
They just thought it was funny what I did, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I was like very nervous and kind of vulnerable.
Right.
You
wanted to do it the right way.
I wanted to do it good. Right. I thought I was like catching on.
Right.
And then I wasn't, you know. And so, I still have this like emotional
hang up hurdle. On it?
Yeah, a hang up, exactly, about the divine office. It's very hard for me to... I it's a wound that's slowly healing. You know what I mean?
Because it's very important.
It's a liturgy. And, it's like the praying part of our of call to pray always. Right. Yeah, it's important.
But he brings out something that in a way that I hadn't thought of it before, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It's not earth-shattering or anything like that. I just hadn't thought of it before. But he talks about, he says, everyone who comes to pray must hope that he will be speedily answered. If not in virtue of his own prayer, at least in virtue of the multitude when praying together. So, you know, he's talking about the importance of praying together, and he uses the example, like, we don't say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father.
We use our Father. So prayer is meant to be communal. The importance of praying when the church asks us to pray, you're praying with the whole body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, those on this side of the veil and the other side of the veil, you know, and so he just talks about the importance of it. And if not in, at least you get an answer if it's not by the virtue of your prayer, but hopefully when two or more gathered, it's more efficacious. You can at least maybe hopefully hear an answer in prayer with more people by virtue of a multitude of prayers.
Dude, I had it's so funny because today in Mass, right after communion, it's a very intimate moment of prayer. And I was praying like, Lord, I just want to do your will, but like, I'm weak. I don't know what it is. I'm easily distracted. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to, that's all I want. Help me to do it. Help me to do, you know, like I need you to come and help me. And then I don't have the app on my phone to, the prayer that the priest reads at the very end of Mass today, it was like, oh Lord, you know, something about help us to, like, we thank you for helping us to accomplish your will quickly. And it was like, that's exactly
what you wanted, needed
exactly
to hear.
What I had been praying for, mm-hmm. you know, right after communion. And then here it was, and it, like, I just smiled. And so, like, after Mass, I was praying and just thanking the Lord for, Lord, you are so quick to answer prayer, mm-hmm. you know? And that literally happened to me today. And so now here we are.
That's awesome.
Talking about the Lord being quick. And we should expect the Lord to be quick to answer prayer.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And so
part of the virtue of hope.
Part of the virtue. And we'll actually go through, he breaks down the theological and cardinal virtues in prayer. So we can talk about that here in just a minute. One thing I do want to touch on really quick before we get even more into it. He talks about, and I loved it because it was just what Pieper probably pulled from, Joseph Pieper in Leisure, the Basis of Culture. He talks about how we should pray more keenly on feast days and on fast days. He says that on feast day, he gives us really cool.
What does it mean to pray more keenly?
Probably more intentionally, like
expect more out of your prayer.
Yeah,
more. Is that what he means? You think?
I think so. So he weaves in spiritual warfare throughout his writing,
okay.
And he talks about on feast days when God should be better served, demons are more troublesome to men. So on days, which kind of makes sense, right? When days that are given, like on the Sabbath. We're called to rest in the Lord. We're called to glorify the Lord. In justice, we are called to worship Him. Those are the days that the demons are going to try to frustrate your ends more than the other days. Right? Wouldn't that make sense to you?
Yeah. It makes 100% sense to me. And I will tell you that I have noticed on feast days, I tend to find myself, it's those days where I say, I didn't pray today, or I did, you know, like mm-hmm. part of it is because on feast days, my routine gets interrupted, mm-hmm. you know, like, if it's, you know, on a Thursday or something, my Thursday routine gets interrupted. Okay. So part of it is like a natural thing, but I have noticed it so many times that I believe this very easily.
Yeah, and so he goes in and talks about the feast days, but he also talks about fast days, which is very apropos right now as we're going through Lent. And he says, with regards to fasts, note that just as fasting exists to sanctify us in opposition to bodily vices, so prayer does the same in regards to spiritual vices. And he brings up how he breaks down the book is he makes a statement And then he breaks it down with either biblical evidence of what he's saying, or a church father of something to support his position. So it's really great because he gives just like a little, here's what I'm saying, and here's the authoritative position that I'm pulling from to state my position. So it's really cool how he does this. So he was talking about how St. Jerome says, by fasting, the body is cured of its plagues, and by prayer, the mind.
Well, just back up a little bit. You sent me your notes earlier today, and I only read the very beginning of them. And just what you mentioned at the beginning about how God hears prayers, or prayers are maybe more efficacious, whatever the right way to say it is, when you're praying in a holy location.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. But there's a quote. I mean, mm-hmm. you have it here in the notes from 2 Chronicles.
Yep.
Why don't you read that?
It says, my ears shall be attentive to prayer of him that shall pray in this place. And it's talking about a sacred ground.
Yeah. I knew that, all right, if you're praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, obviously there's going to be a more intimate, more intimacy there.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that it meant that he was more likely to hear, like, to answer your prayer.
Well, it just makes sense if this is the spot. Like, just
does make sense.
It makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah.
But I just didn't know.
Right, and that's
why. In the economy of grace, as you mentioned, right. Like, I didn't know it worked like that.
Right. Well, I mean, even in our homes, in our domestic church, when we have a specific spot in our house that we consecrate.
That's set apart.
Which from
sacred, set
sacred.
Apart.
It's a sacred spot that we go and pray together as a family. This is what this spot is meant to do. And so in the virtue of justice. Which you should have in your house. You're giving the respect and the reverence to that of who that is due, which is our Lord. So when we get back, I want to keep going on this because he has a lot of really great things to say. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan, Jim Spencer, guarding the door.
He told us to remind you about the store that we have. You go to thecatholicmanshow.com/store.
We have a store.
He handles all of our shipping, and he still has some hats and glasses.
Hats.
Or a shop. I'm sorry. The Catholic Man Show.
Ball caps, beanies, glasses, shirts. We got a new shirt.
Yeah.
Adam, you have on your shirt. This is our new temperance shirt.
Virtue of Temperance.
Featuring the Virtue of Temperance, brought to you by the Catholic Man Show.
Boom.
Something we exercise weekly.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Saint Humbert, who was the master. I didn't say this at the beginning, but he was the master general of the Dominicans at the time. So he was like the head guy of the Dominicans during the time, and it was actually he lived during Saint Thomas Aquinas.
Humbert,
yes.
Okay.
And he was the one that was in charge of like solidifying the Dominican liturgy. Like saying, this is how we will do it. He's
the Dominicans have their own liturgy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. They do.
Interesting.
He also is like the patron of orderliness because I guess the Dominican order was kind of a little out of sorts before he got in, and he got in, cleaned it up, got it all structured to where it could continue thriving. So anyway, so he's talking
well
about
done, Saint Humbert.
Blessed. He's not a saint.
Oh, Blessed Humbert. Okay.
Yes. So he's talking about prayer, and he says on holiness that must be found in prayer. So he gives like these three things on all these different topics that he's talking about. And on prayer, he says there's three things in particular in regards to prayer and holiness. He says the first is the intention of the mind. And he backs it up with scripture, talking about in 1 Corinthians, he says, I will pray with the Spirit. And he also talks, and he uses Augustine a lot. In fact, he did a whole, translation of St. Augustine in some of his works as well. So he's very familiar with St. Augustine and references him a lot. But he said he quotes St. Augustine saying, when you pray to God in psalms and hymns, let what is brought forth with the lips be turned over in the heart. So it's the intention in mind that you're, let us remember that we're in the presence of God kind of thing. So that's the first one he talks about.
Okay.
The second one he says is frequency. So pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be continually bringing our minds back to God, bringing our minds back to the, that which is holy.
And I, like on this point, I would just want to say to people out there who are don't have the prayer life that you want or that you know that you should have or that you desire, consistency is more important than length.
Yes, I think, yeah, I agree.
Okay, so, it's, I mean, just imagine yourself in a relationship with a woman, okay? So if you've told her, look, I'm going to be here for 5 minutes every time, at every day at this time. It's more important that you're there for that 5 minutes than if you're there for an extra 5 minutes, okay? I mean, if you're there for an extra 5 minutes, that's cool, but what you've, it's more important that you are there for that 5 minutes. So commit yourself to a certain amount of prayer, even if it's 5 minutes, if it's 1 minute, you can spare 1 minute of prayer every day. Mm-hmm. And then you will naturally find yourself praying longer. And when you start to see that, say, you know what, I'm going to increase it to a little bit longer.
Well, your relationship grows, right?
Right,
it's just
exactly.
Like whenever you meet a girl, you maybe start talking to her every once in a while, and then your relationship continues to grow, and
yeah.
then it goes into courting, and then marriage, you know, and so
sure.
you just spend more and more time with them, because you fall deeper and deeper in love with
the
them.
The consistency of your prayer is more important than the length of your prayer.
I agree.
Yeah.
The third one he talks about is holy purity. Basically, you know, to not be in the state of mortal sin. And this is makes sense, obviously. We're talking about the holiness, the three things that we're talking about in prayer for holiness. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the state of grace.
So that's what he means, just being in the state of grace.
Yes, he talks...
Because your prayer... prayer won't avail you any salvific grace.
Grace, with outside
if
of...
If you're not in the state of grace.
Correct.
I mean, it might avail you... like, if you're not in the state of grace and you pray, Lord, help me get to confession, it's not that the Lord won't hear that prayer. He will. He wants to get you there, but it won't be meritorious in like a salvific.
Correct. I believe that's accurate.
I mean, that's another conversation.
Yes. So he wraps that up by saying that in order to have holiness in prayer, one must take heed that the praying tongue be not infected by sin. So again, it's just the intention of mind, the frequency, and making sure that you're in the state of grace.
Yeah.
Another thing that he talks about, and we kind of hinted at this at the other break, was the theological and cardinal virtues that he weaves into prayer. So the theological virtues being faith, hope, and love, the cardinal virtues being prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. For faith, you know, so that our request be made in faith, knowing that our Lord is hearing us, you know, knowing that our Father in heaven is hearing our prayers, just as we hear our kids, you know, as a father, I want to hear what you need. Mm-hmm. Hope that so that one has praying has no doubt. And then charity that moves on to holy desires, which our Lord will grant more willingly, because the more you love, the more you have the thought of more holy things, which pleases our Lord. Mm-hmm. Prudence, he talks about so that, not harmful things be sought, but helpful ones. And so this goes into this is very interesting, because when you're praying, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, Lord didn't seem to be answering my prayers. Well, it could just be he is answering your prayers, but you're not asking the right thing. You know, there's a lot of times my boy wants candy. It's like, there's times I'll give you candy. Times I'm not going to give you candy is right before dinner, because it's not good for you.
Right.
You'll spoil your dinner. So you're not asking for the right thing at the right time. So it takes prudence to know what you're needing, what you're supposed to be asking for, and understanding
right.
what you're praying about.
Yeah.
It's not prudent for you to be praying for $100 million. Maybe.
You could try.
So justice is giving God to what he is due, you know, that making sure that, you set aside that time.
Yeah.
Fortitude, which is part of courage, in order that one may persevere in knocking, you know, to not continue knocking at the door.
Okay.
And then abstinence.
Or temperance.
This is a characteristic of holy men that join in fasting in their prayers. So not letting your appetites control you. It's, you know, it's easier to pray when you have something kind of to offer the Lord, so to speak, whether if it is just your time. But if your stomach is grumbling, or you don't have your coffee, or you haven't had whatever it is that you enjoy, it kind of gives you just something else to offer up to our Lord.
Sure. Yeah.
Any thoughts there?
No, I mean, virtue is prayer in action, essentially. I mean, for the Christian, when done with charity at its heart, you know, there's a difference between natural virtue and supernatural virtue. We've talked about that on the show. Different episode. You can go look that up. Mm-hmm. But when you're practicing virtue out of love for our Lord, then it is a way of prayer.
Mm-hmm. So then he talks about gratitude in prayer and ingratitude, like being grateful for when your prayers are answered and when you don't, you're not grateful, when you don't express gratitude.
Dear Lord, thank you for making me so awesome.
So do you want to
totally crushed it the other day?
You want to talk about the evils of ingratitude or gratitude first?
I'll let you choose.
Okay, let's start with the.
You're in the driver's
seat. We'll start with the evil, and then we'll end on a good note.
Okay, that says a lot about you.
I want to end on a positive.
I'm just saying it says a lot about you.
So he says, like, there's three evils that results in ingratitude. And in this context, he's talking about, like, you ask for something in prayer, the Lord gives it to you, and you don't, in turn, give prayers of thanksgiving that he answered your prayer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously justice as well. So he says there's three things. The first is being deprived of that good that one has received.
Okay.
So, and I want to, like...
So he might take it back, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. And God never does anything evil. Like, he doesn't throw evil upon you, right?
Never.
But he may allow things to happen so that you turn back to him. So it's not like, oh, God is doing this to you, but he could be allowing it to happen to you.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that
evil already is in the world.
Right, right. So he may, it may be taken away from you. It may result in ingratitude that hinders future benefits, which makes sense. As I was reading this, I was just relaying it back to like how I am as a dad myself. And like when I give my son something and
it really is a good analogy.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, so if he doesn't come back and say thank you after I give him something and then he comes back and asks me again for it, it's like, wait a minute, you weren't grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then the third one is that it's a punishment even in this life. So, it says, for the Lord is not content only to take away from the ungrateful what he has given them, but to bestow nothing else. But sometimes he also adds some temporal penalty for being ungrateful. And again, it would just be to allow...
If he does, it's because he loves you.
Yeah, so that you turn back to him.
Do not hate the Lord's chastisements.
But so then he talks about the three good things that happen whenever you are thankful in prayer. And he talks about preservation of the goods that you've already received. So
okay,
kind of is the 180 of what... of these, the evil things, right? Mm-hmm. So it continues to flourish. It continues, whatever the grace he gives you, it continues to grow, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is the multiplication of good things. So he can give you that grace that you asked for, and then it ends up being something even better than you could have even imagined. How many times
Which
has that happened?
Happens all the time.
All the time. And helps, continues to grow the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And then the other one is one that obtains greater things in the next life. So he gives you something. You do it the right way, your reward will be great in heaven. So anyway,
And that's the one we should really be focusing on.
Right.
I mean, do not build up rewards in this life, rewards that perish. Rewards in the next will be everlasting.
I just know that in my prayer life, there have been times where I know that I have failed to offer up prayers of thanksgiving for great things that the Lord has given me. And so... it's one of those things when we in confession, when we say, for what I have done, what I have failed to do, that would be one that you failed to do.
Yeah. So, right, well, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Okay, so for those who are on the podcast.
I did it again.
You did what again?
The zero. It's like, and right I thought there. I was clicked over here.
But you didn't. That's okay.
I just need to not have zero be a... Sorry.
We just need one.
Yeah.
So he talks also about three things in particular that hinder prayer from having an effect, which I found very interesting. It's right here. He talks about, you know, so what is you're praying, and it's like, why is the Lord not answering? It's like, well, he says there's three different things that can maybe hinder having prayer being effective. And the first one is the awareness of a serious sin, obviously being in the state of mortal sin.
Obviously, that's a big one.
Or even grave sin.
Well, if you're aware of being in the state of grave sin,
Well, maybe at the time, whenever you committed the sin, you didn't knowingly choose to do so, or something like that, and it was
Or you were unaware at the time
that it was grave.
You were unaware of the gravity,
right? So it's maybe not the immortal sin, but it could be still a grave. But then you came to learn
that, oh, that was grave. Yeah, right. I now see the seriousness.
Remember when we did the episode of backbiting and how Aquinas said that this is a mortal sin?
It was grave matter.
Or grave matter. Right, and then I realized, okay, that's something that I need to take a little, you know, I need to do a little bit more self-reflection, take a little bit more seriously, because, you know, if I had done something like that, I need to make sure to confess it. In confession, you know.
You know what I've learned is that men do that a lot more than people say that men do. You know, we think about that as being like a female thing, you know, like gossip. I know some men who can gossip, and I've got myself doing it.
I have too.
Like right up there with the best of them.
Right. I mean, I'm as guilty as probably.
And like sometimes I'll do it kind of like nicely,
right?
You know, under the guise of like, oh, bless his heart,
right? I hate that
you
he's
know,
doing
you
this.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, I just love him so much, you know. But yeah, you know, as if that makes it any better,
right?
So you know, it doesn't.
So if you're not in the state of grace, obviously your prayer it's going to hinder the effectiveness of your prayer. But also just being grave sin. So the second one is he says being unmercifulness, meaning like you are not merciful to your neighbors. You know, you're asking the Lord for something and then you know, you're not kind.
Jim Spencer, everybody.
Oh, there's Jim.
Jim Spencer.
you know, you're not merciful. You know, you asking for something and then you don't show that to other people.
Yeah. That's interesting that there was nothing else on the list. I mean, it seems like this would be a long list.
Well, this is just it's a brief writing, right? So it's not like an exhaustive writing, but he's just writing in regards to what he considers some of the most important things.
I mean, to me, if I was going to like make a list of things that would hinder prayer from having its effect, it would be pride. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, you could say that with all these.
Any sin is pride.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like saying all virtue is charity. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. So, I mean, it just seems like this is a good list. I appreciate the things on this list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously being in a state of mortal sin, that's a big one. I was kind of surprised by the next two, unmercifulness and then cruelty towards others. I mean, also cruelty and unmercifulness kind of seem like the same thing. But it seems like there could be a lot of things that would hinder your prayer from having effect. You know, like, or like, you know, just any vice, you know, like any unrepentant vice, mortal, venial, grave, not grave. I mean, if you just have a vice that you're refusing to address, refusing to like submit and take to prayer to say, Lord, I am struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I am weak. I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Save me, Lord. You know that, like, if you just say, if you refuse to address it, and I've had moments like this in my life, I mean, where I've been in prayer and the thought has come to me, oh, this. And I have said, no, we're not talking about that right now.
That is not on the docket.
I mean,
have you ever done that?
I've done that. And it's like, no, God, we are not talking about that. That is fine for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That, whatever it is not that bad, and we're not talking about it today, you know?
Right.
And then it comes up again and again, and finally I, by the grace of God, you know, surrender. It's always such a great feeling. You know, it's always like a confession.
It's almost like, yeah, you fight it for so long.
Why was I fighting this?
I know.
It was stupid.
I should not have been.
You know, like, what a dumb. It's like, you realize, like, it was dumb of me to even want that.
Yeah, that is. It is interesting. Interesting.
I wish
when
I could
come
up with an example, because this happened to me so many times. I just can't think of what they are.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of times where I'll get into adoration and something will come up, and I'll be like, no, Lord, I'm here today in adoration to talk to you, you know, to pray these prayers, yeah. and then to talk, you know, talk to you about
the Lord, I brought an agenda.
Right.
I would like to stick to the agenda.
Right. Can we have an
efficient meeting? Because, right. Lord, I want to be respectful of your time today.
Right. Yeah. But that is kind of the mentality that there's times that I've done that. Even if
trying to sales job Jesus.
I was talking to a deacon here in the diocese about that a while back ago, a couple years ago. And because I was struggling at the time, I was praying the rosary and something just kept coming up in my mind, you know, to talk, you know, to
Jesus, I'm trying to pray. Right? Okay. If you had quit distracting me with right. this.
And he said, like, you know, you got, that's what he said, like, you got to just stop praying the rosary.
And pray about
and
that.
And pray about that.
Yeah.
And then you can go back to the rosary when, you know, when you feel like that's taken care of.
I've heard that before, that if the same distraction, what appears to be a distraction anyway, happens to you three times, mm-hmm. Then you should stop what you're doing and pray about that.
Here I am, Lord. Right. Your servant is listening.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, so this book, though, is really good. If it's only about 110 pages long. It's very short.
I dig almost my favorite thing about it.
I dig how small it is. I dig that. And then, if you're into reading of the office, he talks about the importance of devotion to Mary. Why Saturday is assigned to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He makes a really cool.
Why is it assigned to Mary? Like someone picked Saturday.
No, he makes the really cool he tells a story of like if the seventh day, you know, if Sunday is the day of rest. Well, at one point, the God-man was resting in Mary on Saturday. So if God was resting in Mary on Saturday, and then Sunday is the Lord's day, Mary's day would be Saturday because it's leading up to the Lord's day.
Wasn't he resting in Mary on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well?
Yes. Well, when he was in the womb.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that's why he gives the example, though, of if Sunday is the Lord's day, Saturday, the one closest to it, when he was resting, would be Mary's day.
Okay.
He does a lot better job of explaining it than I did just then. But it's a really cool.
I'm glad he's talking about it because I just thought it's like, oh, we picked Saturday and.
No, and he uses.
And
same,
I thought like
same
Mary.
Bird,
I thought Mary kind of like told somebody like, hey, there's this Saturday devotion I want you to have.
She does.
I thought that's why it was. I mean, yeah. I think that is why it is, but obviously he's coming up with more philosophical reasons.
Correct. And he talks about the importance of kneeling while praying. There's a lot of things in here that I wanted to talk about, but I knew...
Dang it, that's the second time today someone has brought up kneeling while praying today.
Really?
Today. That's a sign. Father Cosgrove's going to be all over me for that.
Oh, I forgot to give a shout out to...
To Mike Cosgrove?
To Mike Cosgrove.
Is that who you were going to shout out?
Yes.
I also wanted to shout out Mike Cosgrove.
Oh, man. I forgot.
But, you know, he says Cosgrove.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.